You may be seated. Earlier this week, I was down with the crud, and I wasn't sure I'd be able to speak today. And I remember hearing a story about when he was too ill to speak, St. Francis got up to preach, and he just gazed at the people with love. I can imagine worse things for a sermon. Baptism. At the Presbyterian church I was raised in, we'd stand at the confession for the baptism and say, "Hear the good news." In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. So baptism, the watery mark of God's love for us and God's claiming of us. We come to the font and we place our lives in the hands of the God who brought light and life out of chaos and darkness. And that's good news. I wonder if it's been a rough week of reentry for any of you all too. Snow delays, sick kids, the mad, chaotic farce of a routine getting going again. Some of us lost precious people, spouses, beloved pets in the last few weeks, or we're marking a hard first anniversary, or recovering from surgery. Our own vestry has been on all weekend, and I think some of them still may need to take the tree down today to get it up by the curb by dawn in the morning to be picked up. And all the pageant costumes are still in my office from Christmas Eve. I did a psychic shout-out to the people of Holy Cross this week, a prayer for some encouragement and self-kindness to come your way this week. So today, it's time for a different kind of reentry, a day to remember and reenter our own baptism in remembering Jesus and his. Why did Jesus come down to the Jordan to be baptized? What was he seeking? The Son of God had no need for forgiveness. He had none. No sins. Couldn't he have watched on a shady hill nearby and then welcomed the newly baptized with a nice warm towel and a nice warm smile? My friend Bob Prim at Okuchi Presbyterian Church in North Georgia reminded me that Jesus went down for at least one of the reasons that all the rest of the folks went to John to be baptized. Jesus shared the hunger that the multitudes felt and longed for. Shared their dream of being made new and living in a world made new. Jesus went for the same reason everyone else went, to be a part, to be part of God's redemption of all that is broken and lost and rejected. To be part of the kingdom of God. That's why I came to Holy Cross too. I saw a vision of me being made new and living in a world made new here. And when Jesus had been baptized, the moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters and the heavens were opened and he saw God's Spirit, it looked like a dove descending on him, landing on him, and along with the Spirit, a voice. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. This is my child, marked by love, the light of my life." Imagine. For it's true for all of us. Just put your hands on your head. Imagine that dove. And repeat after me. "You're my child, the Beloved. With you I'm well pleased. You are my child, the Beloved. With you I'm well pleased." Say it one more time. "You are my child, the Beloved. With whom I'm well pleased." The dove may have just been a private moment, communion with God the Father, and surely only Jesus saw the opened heavens and all in there. But there's no mistake here in Matthew's gospel. God's words are not just for Jesus. God says it out loud for everyone to hear. The Father claims the Son, and we share in the same baptism. We too are claimed by God. "This one is mine," the Lord explained. I see my image in her. Don't you see my image in him? Last month at my kids' school, in great storytelling form with a guitar, I heard Chris Rubble, a visiting author, tell the story of how he started to believe in himself and use his gifts. He was 10 years old and didn't think he had much to offer and was worth much, at least not as compared to his big brothers and just about anybody else. But then Miss Dean, fifth grade teacher, came into his life. He loved to draw, and one day she saw him in the corner and noticed he was working on something and keeping it to himself. She was a God-bearer in his life. He said, "She noticed me, and she saw something I was good at, and she said it out loud." And he just said it again in a dreamlike voice, trailing off. "She noticed me, and she saw something I was good at, and she said it out loud." Today is a day to re-enter the gift of baptism and claim something we can scarcely believe, that we're beloved children of God, redeemed by Christ. Known and needed. Known and needed. This believing is the seed of faith. And a very cool tattooed Lutheran pastor named Nadia Boltz-Weber says, "We talk about faith being all about striving, keeping parameters, spiritual practices, believing. But really, faith is about relaxing. In the way that you relax in the presence of someone you are certain is fond of you. When you're in the presence of someone you're sure is fond of you, you're funnier, you're freer, more spontaneous. Time might even go by without you knowing it. You don't have to strive around them, and somehow you still become your best self. Faith is trusting God's promises that we are who God says we are. This is what I found among all of you. I re-entered and remembered my baptism by living and swimming among so many people here who seem to remember their baptism too. I remember early on trying to tell a friend how it felt to be here, and I said that I felt competent, accepted, and enjoyed. That's what God is saying to us each in our baptism. You're my child. Competent, accepted, and enjoyed. And here we are in a church where the people of God repeat it to each other. Welcome. Come in. Share your gift. You're accepted. We enjoy you. We need what you bring. You know what else I've noticed? I don't hear much comparing around here. I've almost never heard one of you compare this church to another church, or what we do or what we have or what they do or they have. This is big. Any teenager will tell you that the fastest way to sabotage a relationship or end a conversation is to start making comparisons. Why aren't you more like, "Well, if you just did what she..." I haven't heard much comparing here. This church has a gift for cultivating, using, and bringing together the gifts that are at hand. I wonder, when you've returned to and re-entered, remembered your baptism here, let's just take a moment and practice what I'm preaching. Just think. Think about a time you felt known and needed here. Or in your life beyond the walls of this church. Or saw someone and said with a smile to yourself, "That person, they're feeling known and needed. That's good." Think about someone who really seemed to understand what you were going through at a hard time and wanted to walk with you and be part to get into the whirlpool and the waters of your life with you. Or a time you felt free to try something you weren't already good at, or admit that you didn't know how to do something, or offer a suggestion, or even just to stay quiet and not say anything. And you weren't worried that someone would take it the wrong way. Was there a time that you noticed someone and saw what they were good at and said it out loud? Or a time someone's done that for you? Maybe there's someone who's not here at Holy Cross anymore, but who was a real God-bearer and who told you who you were. I can remember times, too. A circle of women in the grass just behind the sanctuary, intergenerational group of moms here, sharing something honest about their experience being a mom because they knew they wouldn't be judged. And they knew that what they had to share might be a salve or a balm for someone else, just like Jesus being baptized because he shared the hunger the multitudes felt for a new world to be a part. I can remember grown-ups in tiny chairs downstairs. I know many of you all can too, in years that far predated my time here, listening to a child and leaning in godly play. And then they'd come up to me later and share with delight what the child had said. And ushers who enjoy our children and make room for them as they come in. Youth who are free and able, whole, confirmed members of our church who would be great on the regular rotation for ushers, readers, servers, and greeters. Instead of working up the strength to be someone you're not here, I trust that many of you feel like you're being invited to become the person that you are. Over and over, this is my child, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased, on whom my favor rests. I heard it here, a word to me, a word to each of us, as much as I have ever heard it anywhere. And it changed my life. It has changed me and freed me up to love and risk and dare and serve. In my tradition, when we'll do a commission for service, we often remember our baptism and the Presbyterians, and you probably do too. We'd say, remember, your baptism is sufficient for your calling. Your baptism is sufficient for your calling. This is always true, but what a blessing to be part of a congregation that thinks so too. Thanks be to God. Amen.